A new study of long COVID finds a disturbing cluster of symptoms well after infection. Tremors, vibrations, pain that can be debilitating. And today that paper is being submitted to the journal MedRxiv. These symptoms tragically led long hauler Heidi Farrar to take her own life. Her story was shared with Here and Now by her husband Nick Gutta. And Gutta has worked with a network of long haulers, it's called Survivor Corps, to gather patient data for this study. We have an author of that paper with us now, Yale University cardiologist Harlan Krumholz. Dr. Krumholz, welcome back to Here and Now. Now, you spoke to us in the early days of the pandemic, and you said this virus can attack any system of the body, not just the lungs, with a certain ferocity. And now you're sounding a new alarm on long-haul symptoms. Now, this study is not yet peer-reviewed, but tell us what you found.
I'd been hearing from a lot of patients about a fairly devastating set of symptoms, and Heidi exhibited some of them: tremors, internal vibrations, body unable to function, and experience with the healthcare system in which they felt that their symptoms were being dismissed or discounted because there were no objective tests that could reflect what was going on in the body that might be causing it. And so I began talking with the patient groups, and we thought that it might be good to do a more of a systematic study of exactly what is it that people are experiencing. They wonder, are they the only ones? Is this something real even? Because so many people are dismissing them. And so we worked together to try to bring voice to the experience of many patients around the country and understand what is it that they're experiencing and are there common themes in what people are reporting so that we can begin to do research in earnest to try to understand it better.
And indeed, you did find what you describe as an important cluster of symptoms, yeah?
Yeah, so I consider this very formative work. I mean, what we were hearing from different people who didn't know each other and hadn't exchanged notes was a very sort of similar set of experiences. They reported having had COVID and then subsequently having a sense of some of them unable to control some of their muscles, a lot of them describing something like vibration sense inside their body in different places. And what was important and notable was many of these people were extremely high-functioning individuals who had had exemplary health in their lives. So these weren't people for whom this was an amplification of something that they'd been experiencing previously, but was an entirely new set of symptoms that they found quite disabling.
And to your point, I'd just love to read a couple quotes from the people who responded. I was a healthy 34-year-old marathon runner, and now I'm a 35-year-old individual who is grieving who the person was. Going to your point about people who, you know, were physically thriving before all this happened. And another says he has neuro issues, vibrations, ripples, tremors, intense foot cramps, foot drop, leg spasms, body constantly in pain, walking on nails. You've looked at these responses so much, I imagine. What stuck out or perhaps surprised you?
I think the depth of suffering, the degree to which people are having their lives unraveled, the uncertainty around it. I'll also say that what convinced me that this is really worthy of an energetic effort by researchers in partnership with these patients is that there are common features here. They're using very much the sort of same terminology. They're experiencing it in similar ways, which makes me wonder, you know, whether there are some common underlying mechanisms, especially this sensation of inner vibration, muscle twitching or tremors, or in more extreme senses, mini seizures. Again, this methodology was one of really going out and hearing what people had to say first before we made any judgments.
You mentioned a lot of patients said they feel alone or gaslighted by doctors who didn't believe them or said, you know, it's all in your head. What do you want to tell doctors who might be hearing about these symptoms for the first time?
I believe that the doctors are also in a predicament. When we see patients, we try to match them with what we know of the medical literature. We try to match them with what we've seen before. And when people come in with something entirely new that doesn't fit a pattern, there's a sense of inadequacy and there's a lot that's unknown. So for doctors, we have to listen intently and we be very careful not to send a message of being dismissive, but rather being an ally. And we have to be honest that there's just not knowledge here now and work together to see what we can do to help them feel better in the moment, but also honor and respect the fact that this is how they feel.
And how about the patient side? What's your advice for patients who might feel alone? We know that Heidi Farrar died by suicide after a long battle with these symptoms.
we need to try to help people know that, in fact, they're not alone, that they're one among many who seem to be experiencing these kind of symptoms. We're going to be working to try to see whether we can assemble large groups of people like this so that they can, one, give each other some peer support, know that they're not in it alone, and be a force to work with researchers so that we can accelerate enrollment in studies, share knowledge, learn from them, and see whether or not we can identify underlying mechanisms. I'm working with Akiko Iwasaki at Yale, and we're going to try to see whether or not we can identify some immune signatures, the way the immune system's working, that might be correlated with some of this. I want to just tell them that we know this is hard. We hope that we'll make progress and that they shouldn't give up.
Dr. Harlan Krumholz, Yale University professor and cardiologist. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
And now let's turn to Liza Fisher, a patient who participated in the study. Liza, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about your story? You're 38 years old, no pre-existing conditions, and then you were hospitalized with COVID-19 in July of 2020. You spent a week in the ICU and then rehospitalized. What happened next?
In the rehab hospital, my neurological symptoms started to exacerbate to the point where I developed full-on body tremors. I wasn't able to walk. And then the tremors were very heavy Parkinsonian-like. And then I had the internal tremors or vibrations that feels kind of like a train track or an earthquake vibration inside your body.
And these tremors, do they still continue now?
Yes. The external ones are more consistent. They have significantly died down due to a variety of treatments. And then the internal vibrations will come and go. But yes, I do still experience both.
Oh, wow. And when the vibrations, when these tremors come, what do you do?
I mean, there's a variety of kind of coping mechanisms, breathing strategies, things to activate my parasympathetic nervous system. But sometimes there's nothing you can do.
So sorry about what you're going through. Can you describe a little bit how it's changed your life?
I am disabled by it. I was wheelchair functional. I'm currently transitioning between mobility aids. I had to relearn how to walk. People don't think about it, but when you're tremoring, internal organs can tremor too. So that involves throat spasms. It may be difficult to eat.
And what if the doctors told you about what's happening at the start? Did they believe what you were telling them? As you know, as part of this survey that's in the paper, a number of people said they were gaslighted by the doctors who said, oh, this is just in your head.
Throughout my entire COVID medical journey, pretty much all of the phases between being gaslit and dismissed to being welcomed and being an active participant in my care and researching.
And what help has the medical community provided for you by way of either an explanation, trying to understand what's going on, knowing what treatment might help?
I live in Houston, which is, some may know, kind of the world's largest medical center in the world. I've been fortunate enough to have a little bit more access to medical resources. I was able to gain an appointment to one of the first post-COVID clinics in August of last year. That particular doctor was familiar with a disorder called dysautonomia, which led to some answers through the treatment of that. And so they found somebody who was able to implant a neuromodulation device similar to a deep brain stimulator, some use for tremors and Parkinson's, but instead implanted in my spine. And that had some significant results for post-COVID tremors for the first time. That being said, I still deal with tremors. In the post-viral world, it's very common to get what we know as the trifecta, POTS, MCAS, and EDS. And I have a host of POTS. It's dysfunction of your autonomic nervous system. So anything that happens automatically, your heartbeat, your blood pressure, breathing. And then MCAS is another diagnosis, mast cell activation. That, for me and for many, can lead to not being able to eat and basically not being able to eat anything. There was a period, again, this summer when I went 6 weeks, almost 2 months, without being able to eat solid food.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So I imagine you just want to know what other symptoms other people who've gone through this are experiencing. Is that one reason you participated in this study?
Yes, to find more people to participate, collecting that data, and then we can bring this awareness to the medical community. Because when I was in the hospital, shaking uncontrollably, and people were like, we have no idea what's going on with you, I went online. And it's just crazy to think that I went to Facebook for answers. I don't want to be going to Facebook for my medical advice. Yeah. And I found a lot of people who were experiencing the same thing that I was. You know, we took our citizen scientist roles and we're taking our healthcare into our own hands and bringing this information to providers. I call myself a science project in real time. Research me so that somebody else doesn't have to experience what I'm experiencing.
Liza Fisher is a participant in a COVID long hauler study that is being submitted today to the journal MedRxiv. Click on hereandnow.org to read it. Liza, our best to you and your team. Thank you.
Thank you.